discuss a topic related to this expasha for a few minutes, the topic of the tzedokim. The tzedokim, the baitosim, the karoim, the isim? How do you say it in Hebrew? How do you say it again? In English. How do you say it in English?
Which one?
Essenes. What is this about? How does this relate to the parasha? How does this all relate to the parasha? This parasha's Chukas, the opening parasha, opening section of Chukas deals with the Torah Aduma. And we find in Chazal, they bent backwards almost to a degree that is beyond our understanding. What is called in Halacha, Lehoitzi Milibon Shel Tzedoken. They did something in order to disprove, but to make a statement that we are not from the Tzedokim, the Talmidei Chachamim who held on to the pure, true tradition we'll call the Purushim. Okay, everyone had a different term. The Purushim, like today we have all these terms. They are Hasidim, Mitznagdim, Modern Orthodox, Open Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Egalitarian, all these different terms. So there are different atheists, agnostics. So these terms exist in Talmud Chazal as well. So the term that represented Torah true Judaism, traditional Torah true Judaism, going back to Moshe Mitzrayim without any deviation whatsoever, were the Purushim. They were Parush. They separated themselves from, I'm not sure what they separated themselves from the heretics. I think it means they separated from these other groups. However, these other groups had quite a bit of influence. They did quite a bit of damage. They caused quite a bit of trouble for Klal Yisrael. And two of these groups, the two most famous groups, were called the Tzedokim and the Baitosim. How do they come into existence? They came into existence in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Who was their Rebbe? The Rebbe was Antigonus. Antigonus, he is the one we have to deal with. Antigonus, he had two Talmidim. One's name was Baitos, and one name was Tzadok. Tzadok and Baitos. These were the two students of Antigonus, and he taught them that don't be like a Rebbe. Al tehi ke'eved ha-meshamesh esarav al-manas l'kabel pros. Don't be like a student who serves his master for the purpose, for the goal of receiving reward. But instead, you should be like a servant who serves his master, Almanas, Sheloi Lekabel Pros. This was the motto of Antigonus Ish Soko. Antigonus Ish Soko, Oimer, Altahi Kavodim Hamashamish Mesarav Almanas Lekabel Pros, Ella Kavodim Hamashamish Sheloi. Almanas lekabel pros. The problem was the Talmidim, these two Talmidim, Tzadok and Baitos, took him too literally. Okay, this goes to show how careful a Rebbe has to be. We had the same issue with Yashka. Okay, Mesis Sumediach, because Rebbe Shubin Prachya was Doicha b'shtei yodayim. He did not give him the proper care, attention that he needed. And because of that, Yeshu Hanotshi went out to create his own religion, which caused the Klal Yisrael untold suffering beyond comprehension. Ad Hayom Hazeh, because the Rebbe Reb Shimon Prachya did not give the Talmud the proper attention. He was too harsh. He was doicha. He pushed him away b'shtei yodai. You're only supposed to push your Talmud away with one yad. You're supposed to push him with one yad and pull him. And that means you turn them around. If you push, if I take something and I push with one hand and I pull with the other, what am I doing? I'm turning it around. I have a Rebbe, a Talmud, who's going off the derech. He's going off the derech. I give him a push with this hand and I pull him with this hand. And in the process, I turn him around and he should come to me. I'm sure in Prachya, he pushed him. Get lost. You're good for nothing. You're a troublemaker. I don't want to see you. Nachman Litzlan. Chorban. Antigonus also, unfortunately, did not pay close enough attention to his two students who misunderstood what he meant. They understood him to mean that there's no such thing as reward, period. You can work your whole life, You can serve Hashem your whole abimaisim nefesh. You can do everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will never, ever, ever repay you for your good deeds, for your efforts, for your, not in this world, that we know in this world, there's no reward in this world. Schar b'hay al moleka, but not even in the next world. And this bothered these two people, these two students, Sadok and Baitos. They did not understand that with his Rebbe Antignos, he didn't mean that. He meant that your attitude, it's a very fine line, it's very, very hard. If you're a very deep thinker, it's very, 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 very hard line, fine line to differentiate between these concepts. But the basic idea is they took him too literally. They thought that there's no reward, not in this world, not in the next world, and that's why they went off the derech. He never meant that. He meant the attitude should be that you serve Hashem l'shem Shemayim. But don't worry. You should, deep down, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed. We always say in Navi, we always keep on learning, Hashem is Ani Hashem Nemon l'shalem Socher. Hashem is faithful. He will give a person what he deserves, his reward for his hard work. Yeah.
If that's what they believed, then why did they retain anything at all?
Oh, excellent question. That's excellent
question. The Menhagim with the Stokim, how did they differ from them?
Okay, so that is an excellent, excellent question. So if they believe their Rebbe, there's no schar, let them go off the derech, I'll let them just disappear. Let them just do whatever they want. Well, what happened? Obviously, with Stokim, they do have beliefs. They want to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the basic answer is they just felt the Rebbe is wrong. The Rebbe is wrong. There is reward, but it caused them to doubt his other teachings. If the Rebbe is wrong in this matter, I'm just saying words which may not make much sense, but the question that you're asking is much, much better than any answer I can give you. He tries to explain it over here, which I didn't really understand. I read it a few times, I didn't really understand it. He's addressing that question. But basically, the way I understand it is that it can't be. You're wrong. You're wrong. There's no way you can say that there's no reward. There is reward. The same way you're wrong in regard to this, you must be wrong in regard to everything else that you're teaching us. You're teaching us how to read a pasuk in the Torah. Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshe osechem b'yom ha-shabbos. Don't light a fire in all of your dwelling places. You teach us, it means don't light a new fire on Shabbos. But an old fire you can light. Rebbe, you're wrong. Rebbe, there's something wrong with your mind. The way you think is corrupt. If you can tell us there's no reward in the next world for serving Hashem, or there's no whatever, it means that everything you've taught us is wrong. So therefore, we're going to go back now and reinvent the wheel. We're going to go back now through the Torah, and we're going to provide the correct interpretation of what it means in the Torah, and we're going to have students, we're going to have some marketing, hire a good marketing person. He's going to go out there and get some students, and we'll make a good parnasa from this. And one thing led to another. It led to a whole institute of the Tzedokim and the Baitosim.
So,
yeah.
So they were literal interpreters, like Ayin Tachasai.
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer. Some of them, yes. Something. Now you're asking very, very good. Now here's the big thing. I don't know. I just want to point make some ha'aros. I don't know. There are different groups. There is Tzedok and there is Baitos. It's very obvious they had different philosophies. They're not the same. The Tzedokim and the Baitosim were two different groups, two different corrupt understanding versions of the Torah.
But the same Rebbe.
The same Rebbe. They all started because they went off the derech from the same Rebbe. Antignos Ish Socho taught them this halacha. They misunderstood what he meant. That triggered a rebellion, a distancing of tradition. They then, on each one on their own, they were brilliant people, these two students, and they're very charismatic. And they each went and created their own version of Judaism. I don't know if you call it Judaism. They created their own religion. And one, and what's interesting is when you study the Mamari Chazal, sometimes we find it's the Tzedokim that Chazal are trying to disassociate themselves from. And sometimes they're trying to disassociate from the Baitosim. For example, the Ketores. When they brought the Ketores in Yom HaKippurim, there's a Machlokes, the Purushim and the Tzedokim. The Purushim said that you enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim first, and then you pour the Ketores on the coals. The Tzedokim said, no, you first pour the Kitores on the shovel of coals, and then you enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they were so concerned that the Kohen Gadol was a secret Siddoki, a closet Siddoki. They made the Kohen Gadol take a Shavua before he went to do the Avoda to make sure you do it the right way, like the Purushim. You first go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you pour the Kitores on the coal. So who are they coming up against? It's very clear in the Gemara, there's no exception, the Tzedokim. Let's go to another example you're all familiar with. When do you bring the Omer, Shavuos, Mimocharas HaShabbos? What does it mean, Mimocharas HaShabbos? So our tradition is, Shabbos is a term for Pesach. You begin to count the Omer on the day after the first day of Pesach. Pesach in the Torah here is called Mimocharas HaShabbos. Now, those who disagreed with the Purushim, when did they bring the Omer?
Sunday.
The following Sunday. Shabbos. Now, who are those people? The Tzedokim?
No,
many make a mistake.
Manipulate the calendar.
There's a lot of Torah on this. But the point I want to make over here is, who's the one who the Rabbanim were coming again? And because of this, there was this massive ceremony. Okay, there's a mission that says a massive ceremony that was done on the first day Pesach. Lohoitze Miliban. Question, who? So the average person who doesn't go through the exact details will tell you that Tzedokim, right? I mean, a lot of people will say it was the Tzedokim. You'll hear someone give a shir. And it was they say the Tzedokim. By the way, it's really the Tzedokim. I used to always say Tzedokim until there was a fellow in my shir who was a very big medactic on Lashon, and he kept on hammering me. It's not the Tzedokim. It's the Tzedokim. Until he brainwashed me to say that Tzedokim, I say Yuma, Masechta Yuma. He used to always tell me, it's not Yuma, it's Yoma. Yoma. It's not Shabbosim, Yom Haaretz. It's Shabbosos. Okay, so I had the fortune, it's a good fortune, Baruch Hashem, he set me straight. Unfortunately, one time when I speak publicly and I say these things, like people look at me like you're from Mars. So you don't have to really know your audience.
Say
Balkria. Balkria, I said it's also it's not Balkore, it's Balkria. The truth is I checked out that it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true because the same way we know everyone says Balkore, if you say the Baltokea. If you say the Baltokea, you can say the Balkria. Balkore. It's the same exact thing. So therefore, everyone, you never heard someone hold back and say, oh, you can't say the Baal Tokea. The Tokea. No, the Baal Tokea. If you can say the Baal Tokea, you can say the Baal Kore. You don't have to say the Baal Kriya. Okay, that's another topic. But in any event, we go on for hours about all these things. But that's not the topic for now. Any event, the Tzedokim, the Tzedokim, whatever you want to say. So if you ask the common man, why did the Rabbanan make it demand that the Omer be brought with this lavish ceremony on the second day of Pesach? Lahoitzi mi liban shel the Tzedokim. No, they make no mistake. That's not what it says in the Gemara. Lahoitzi mi liban shel baitoisin. It was the baitoisin that were obsessed with Mimocharas HaShabbos. So you see, and you go through there, like maybe 10, 15 examples of this. I don't know what it is. You have to find some common ground to understand the Hashkafa. It was different. There were things that the Tzedokim were obsessed with, and there were things that the Baitosim were obsessed with, and they mutually exclusive.
Did both of them hold the Kohen Gadol position?
No. Only the Tzedokim.
Okay, so there would be, that would explain...
Stoke
why
it, right,
involved
right.
In that particular
so why was it? Why weren't they afraid of a closet baitosi? I don't know. There's obviously something very deep going on here to
because
understand the hashkafa. We don't. That's not what we spend our time on. Trying to understand the difference between a reform and a conservative, right? I don't think they even know the difference between reform and conservative. What? What?
The difference if you hold there or you don't hold there.
The Tzedokim didn't hold from Erev. By the way, the Tzedokim did not hold the hold. There's no such thing as Erev. You can't have an Erev on Shabbos. No such thing. No carrying. No such thing as Erev.
They had no flame on Shabbos.
No flame on Shabbos.
Dark cold food.
Yes, correct.
Was there a major difference between the Rosh and Torah Shabbat?
Yes, yes, of course, yes. That's that. Yes, and fundamental difference between the Purushim. Yeah, of course. We practice today the religion of the Purushim. We hope we're following the Purushim. But in ancient times, I told you. They're Kairoim. They're Karaites. The Kairoim. Now let me go. We'll get that in one moment. Why they are? I think they can the Kairoim. They can trace the Yichus. I once saw a presentation. There's a whole group in Eretz Yisrael of Kairoim. Can they trace their lineage as Mamzerim among them? Because they don't follow the tradition, they definitely have among them Mamzerim. But can they trace the lineage back, Miuchasim back to Klal Yisrael? Probably. No different than us. The Mamzerim. You can't marry them. Because since they don't hold of the correct Kiddushin, they don't follow the rules of the Kiddushin Nisuin, there's big, big problems with them becoming Gerim.
Well, they don't want to marry Israelis either.
We can. There are major problems with their yichus, with mamzerus issues, not issues of Judaism. And the problem is worse because now, with let's say they want to be chayzer b'shuva, they have someone from that community wants to become a member of, wants to be chayzer b'shuva, wants to be a charedi. Who can he marry? Not so. If he was a guy, he becomes a ger. Okay, a ger can marry anyone. Can marry koy. He can marry anybody. But if he's a mamzer, he's in a lot of trouble. He can't. It's a very big problem. All right, let's get back to the point. I want to make over here is that there is a you have to be very careful in the Chazal. Sometimes it's called the Tzedoki, sometimes it's called the Baitosi. They're two students. It's something they can buy at the same time. There is obviously a Hashkafic difference between the two, which I do not know. Certainly some of them, Farshim, must talk about the Hashkafa. And it's probably important to know, because today we live in a very complicated world where, and in the last couple of years, open orthodoxy has made quite a commotion. Okay, it started out as something very quiet. It started out as being something, okay, modern orthodox, another. But unfortunately, some of the rabbanim who have smicha, who are chashen, a lot of open people who identify with open orthodoxy are part of batei dinim all over America. Gidin v'kiddushin, these are very fine people. These are very good people. And now there are a few rotten apples who have come out and said, you know, Torah is not min hashamayim. We want to make it clear to you that we don't believe in that principle. Speak for yourself. Okay, speak for yourself. Don't go speak for every single member of people who affiliate, who have thus far affiliated, because then you're really causing major problems in Gidin v'Kiddushin. And unfortunately, it's really gotten really, really way out of hand. Ad kedei kach where the Mo'etzes Gedol Yisrael Aguda, okay, I'm not telling you political statements. They have come out and they've made some major statements that they're not accepted. I don't think you realize how the ramifications of that statement from the Mo'etzes Gedol Yisrael has. Because if they're involved on a bezdin of Gerus, they're involved on a bezdin of someone who identifies with this organization, even though they themselves may be a good person. You know, it's really, really creating a major nightmare for Klal Yisrael. Go look 10, 15 years down the line when someone who had Geirus through the Bezdin, who had one of their members on board, or was a witness in a divorce in Gershon, it's a very, very big problem. It's a real, real nightmare. So the question over here is, interesting, if you want to know what a Baitosi is, what a Tzedoki is, there's probably, you know, the Hashkafa between them can probably be, today, there are all these different denominations, Reform, Conservative, Conservadox, Open Orthodoxy, and then there's Egalitarian, Agnostics, Atheists, you know, v'chulu, where does everyone fit into place? What exactly, certainly you can probably trace it back to earlier sources, all different types of Hashkafas, different ideas. Now, let's go further. What about the Karoim? Where do they come in? So the Kairoim, it seems a new group. It seems a new group which is a much more modern. It's a much more modern. We have nothing to do with the Tzedokim and the Baitosim. It could be the Tzedokim and Baitosim are extinct. The Kairoim is a whole new group which came into existence in the much later time of Yanai HaMelech. Then there's also a group called the Essiim. In Hebrew it's pronounced Essiim, which in English is pronounced Essenes. So what are they? So someone wants to say that they are an offshoot of the Baitosim. What today people call the Essiim, whatever you call them, are really the old, they really can trace all the way back to the Baitosim. Some say not, some say they're a different group. Okay, so we have over here all these, so I just want to point, I find it very interesting that
the
Brach
film we have are from the
I find it very interesting in the bracha V'lam al Shinim. There's a bracha that was composed by Shmuel HaKatan. So they're really interesting. There are four groups. The nusach is V'lam Mishum Adim. The first group is V'lam Mishum Adim.
Laminim.
The way we have it, v'lam mishum. I think it was original. You have to look in the Siddur Vilna. They have the original nusach. The Siddur Vilna. I think it says there v'lam mishum adim. I think the original nusach in the Siddur Vilna is v'lam mishum adim. Al tisikva v'chol haminim kerega yavedu chol oyve amcha mehera yikareisu v'hazeidim mehera sakir l'shabes magir. So four groups. It's very interesting that in the nusach of what we call v'lam al shinim, the original nusach, there are four different groups. What are the difference between them? I have no idea. V'lam mishum adim. That's the minim. V'lam mishum adim. What are they? V'lam minim. V'chol harisha kerega toiveid. V'chol oivecha. Who are these four groups? Are they Jews? Are they non-Jews? Okay, what? V'lam mishum adim. The only v'chol harisha are the Jews. Maybe it's the goyim.
They made it so that when
Christians,
they wouldn't want to daven for the shabbos.
The Christians used to be Jews. Okay,
yeah,
Christians are all Jews. All right, so listen. All I want to point out over here is that we have four different over here. We find in Chazal four groups. The Baitosim, really five groups. The Baitosim, the Tzedokim, the Asiyim, the Karaim, and the Notzrim. Okay, Chazal talk about five different groups scattered throughout Shas. What? Who the Notzrim? The Notzrim evolved. That's the question. The Karaim is the latest. They're probably the latest. Not necessarily. I don't know. Not necessarily. The Karaim came out Yanai Hamelech, which was Bayasheni. And the Bayasheni. And that's the same time as the Notzrim. The Notzrim evolved. How many Yoshkas were there? At least two. Maybe even by the Roman period.
Whereas the Tzedukim by system are in the Greek period.
I don't know anything about this. I don't know. But I just want to point out there are four. We have in Chazal five groups. Five groups. They're all Jews. Jews make the most trouble. Okay, the Tzedokim, the Baitosim, the Karoyim, the Asiyim, and the Notrim. The original Notrim were fine Jews. Okay, not like today. Today they're going.
The original notrim.
Fine, whatever they. But that's a new term. The medium is a new term that was invented later.
But that term is as a result of censorship. You can't write notrim in the Siddur and have So they
change it to minim. Okay. Now let's just discuss some couple things over here. Now, one of the things that Chazal did that's why we're talking about this parsha that they went backwards was lahaitzim miliban shel tzedokim was paraduma. What did they do, Paraduma? Paraduma, the Tzedokim took a very literal translation to the Torah, and they were of the opinion that when you want to go and prepare the Paraduma, the one that administers the water, sprinkles the water upon the person who is Tamei, must be 100% Tahar. Now, when we say 100% Tahar, that means not only did he go to Mikvah, he has to wait until the sun sets. We know that when it comes to certain types of the highest level of Tahar is you go to the Mikvah, that's not enough. Going to the mikvah just removes the major bulk of tumah, but you have to wait until sundown until the tumah departs entirely and you 100% tar. So the Torah says that if you have a person who's tumah mace, he needs someone to sprinkle upon him the para aduma water. The one that's going to sprinkle the para aduma water must be tahar. How tahar must he be? The tzedokim were of the opinion he must be tahar 100%. That means he went to mikvah yesterday, and the sun has already set from yesterday. Today's a new day, so he's 100% tahar. There's nothing more that needs to be done. He is a candidate to sprinkle the water upon the person who is tamei. The Rabbanon, the Purushim, says that's not pshat in the pasuk. When it says v'hiza ha-tahar ala tamei, Rav Shamshon of Al Hirsch actually explains that since the pasuk compares one to the other, it's relative. I'm tahar relative to being tamei. It doesn't mean I'm tahar 100%. I'm just relative to the tamei. You tamei, rather. I'm tahar relative to you. Relative to you means I went to mikvah. But it doesn't mean that I'm tahar 100%. The sun did not yet set. I'm still tamei. The sun did not yet set. According to the Purushim, it's valid. If a person who was once upon a time tamei and he went through the procedure of Tahara, and he went through his last step of Tahara today, and he went to Mikvah, but he has not yet had the sun set down upon him, the day is not yet over, he is included in the Torah's term, V'hizah ha-tohor al ha-tomi, he can be the one who sprinkles the water. So this was a hot debate between the Tzedokim and the Perushim. So in order now, the ones who Baruch Hashem had control over ritual were the Perushim. They had control. But it was very, very delicate. Who knows what will be tomorrow? In order to show that they're in control and to make a public statement is they bedafka would take a person and would make him tummy and put him in the mikvah and he would not have Herif Shemesh and he would be the one that would sprinkle the water on the people who are tummy to show up the Tzedokim. So, according to the Purushim, it doesn't hurt. It's ideal. The person should be 100% tar.
Yeah,
but to show them up, lahachis, yeah. They would be metamehim. They would go and they would take him and they would have him touch a dead sheretz. They would put him in the mikvah. So he now would be still tameh. He would be waiting until the sun would set. And before the sun would set, he's now going to be the one that would sprinkle the water. And the Purushim, the Tzedokim, they would be so angry, they would be furious, they would protest, and you like it goes on today, you would see they would have to call in the police to put down the protest. And Mayor, you would be there, right? You would be there. I can just see him. I can see him there fighting with them. I can see him there.
Right? Yelling, you're not from enough. You're not from enough.
Yeah. That's you're touching upon another debate. What you just said many, many years ago, I heard a shiur from Rabbi Yochanan Zweig. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
He is a Rashiva in Miami. Yeah. He's a very, very deep thinker. He's a very creative. He's one of the big thinkers of this generation. He's an original thinker.
Yeah.
Okay, he just published that two svarim, like a year ago on Chumash.
Somebody I know is translating.
Translating it,
he put some
of his stuff on Bereishis. He's an original person. He gives a lot of shiur online. He has a lot of shiurim. He's a rashiv in Miami. He has a big yeshiva in Miami, a big institute in Miami. So I remember many, many years ago, he once spoke on Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, and his whole drasha was exactly your amazing. Says people think that the Tzedokim were like today reform.
Absolutely.
That's what they think.
So he said
there's a big mistake. He says that Tzedokim were extreme right. They were extreme right wingers. They were two from. They weren't like reform. The everything that you did, they did, plus a lot more.
They were so far out they were in.
They were so far out they were
that they were in.
They were in? I don't know what that means.
So what was the difference?
And that's another title. That's another question. What was at Stokey?
Big Kumras, Kumras. I'm doing following the Halakha 100%. But
yeah. It wasn't good enough.
The other guy says no.
The Stokey says it's not good enough.
So
the Stokey says...
People say I have a Kumra.
Is it Stokey? That's right.
Some people don't know.
That's right. The Tzedokim were. Right. Exactly. So the Tzedokim says you now have fire, so they have to no lights. On Shabbos, no electricity on Shabbos, and no fire, no hot food.
They didn't make a shidduch with someone who used plastic paper.
They were extremists. They were extremists to the right, not to the left. I was very fascinated with this shir. And I once said it over, I remember I said it over in the Daf Yomi Shabbat, I once had this there, and there was a fellow there who really knows the stuff inside out, and he said to me, he knows what I'm saying, he's familiar with this approach, he said it's dead wrong. He says that's not correct. He basically respectfully, strongly degrees with Rabbi Zweig that the Tzedokim were not to the extreme right, they were to the left. And he explained to me why, he brought many riots. So I was like, no, okay, listen, I don't know. What difference does it make?
Right,
okay, right,
wrong.
Left, what not, difference does it make?
Said.
It's a very interesting topic of discussion, like you mentioned over there. But this one is stuck now. Here's the question. Now, let's go a step further. We're running out of time. I want to get a lot more stuff. We have to do tomorrow. More stuff tomorrow about this. But basically, over here, this is what the Rabbanan did. The Rabbanan said we needed Matan. The Rabbanan were very afraid. If we're going to go and take the Kohen, the person who is to sprinkle the water, we're going to contaminate him publicly. We're going to take a dead sheretz and put it upon him, and then we're going to put him in the mikvah. It's going to make a bad impression. all the cameras are rolling, everyone's taking pictures, everything is online, everyone is reporting Parah Aduma, and they, oh, you can sprinkle the Parah Aduma with a person, the sprinkler can be Tomei. Look at the picture. It's a Farish picture. CNN. It's not fake news. The Farish is a picture of the Kohen taking a sheretz and putting it upon the person that's doing Hazah. Little do they know, they put him in the mikvah 5 minutes later. That's not going to show. But they're going to show in the media that they're being metame.
That's fake news.
They're being metame. So there's evidence. So it's going to make a bad impression. And the media, who's looking for fodder, they're looking to make trouble. They're going to have something to make trouble about. So the Rabbanan says, so we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. To go only do someone who's 100% tahar. We want to show up at Stoke. We have this hanoch. We have to show them up.
It's much stronger than that because no baisasi could ever become tahar.
Yeah.
Because since the hazah of a tamei meis was always done according to baisas by a guy who was never qualified to do it,
they could never become tahar.
So the baisasim all became tameis.
Very good. I like that.
So
very interesting.
Sort of extra. Ostracized all the
so why, very good, very good.
Made.
You're saying very deep.
It was a very profound. It was very, like saying, going to the street saying,
you're saying very good.
Anyone who wears it has a smartphone is tamei. You're not allowed to eat in this house. That's so, why we Chas v'Chalila, when we had that big fight between Lubavitch and Rav Shach, they didn't eat in the houses. You didn't eat at someone else's shkita. It was horrible.
Okay, you're saying very. You're saying that this was a technique to prevent them l'shitasam from becoming tahar. We want you to be tamei. We want you, even according to your opinion, should be tamei. So therefore, we're going to control. We control the parah aduma, and we're bedafka not going to ever allow it to be that you'll ever become tahar according to your opinion. We're tahar because we hold it. You're tahar, but you hold that. Very. I like. Very good. Very deep. Very good. But let's go. He has another idea in this. So they have to show them up, or like what you said, they have to go and make sure they'll never become tar. On the other hand, if they're going to be metame, the one that sprinkles, it's going to make a very bad impression. It's going to set the wrong tone. People are going to learn. Maybe in 10 years from now, people are going to forget they go to the mikveh. You can be tame. So they went to the other extreme. They did something that is so bizarre that it's really hard to understand. That is, they raised a city of children in isolation. What do? They went and they Rabbanon, the Prushim, they went and they built a city on a platform. Just in case, maybe underneath there's a corpse is buried deeply down underneath. Keverata, maybe who knows, 1,000 years ago someone was buried in this spot. And maybe we're all tame. So you know what? We're going to make a platform in the event that someone is buried deep down deep down, if there's a hefsik between the ground and 3 tfachim, then the tumah is contained. So they built these massive platforms. A massive platform that you can live on, a whole city, a whole colony. And then they brought in women who are pregnant. Or maybe they weren't pregnant yet. I don't know. They brought in pregnant women. And the women would give birth
in that colony.
They would give birth in this colony. Maybe they went in a spaceship out of space. They gave birth right today. They would go out of space. They go to the space station. So there's no one dead in the space station. So you go in the space station. You give birth. So the child definitely did not come in contact with tumah. The baby was born in this little colony that's built upon a platform where there's no tumah because it's contained. In the worst event, that there's tumah. And the child will live there, will be raised there until... By the parents. They brought in a chanchim, they brought in teachers, they brought in a grocery store, a pizza shop, you name it. Everything was brought in there. No hospitals though, no sick people. No one dies there. Because, what? No, there's no Tumas, no, there's no Tumas Mace. There's no Tumas Mace. The main thing is Tumas Mace. There's no Tumas Mace, so no one gets tame.
A child never died suddenly?
If a child died suddenly, then you're right, they would have to settle over again. They'd have to settle over again. You're right. They had multiple cities. Okay, this was a major expense. Can you imagine how much this would cost to do something like this? To do this? To raise children with a cheder and a pizza store and a Toys R Us. You name it. Everything has to be there. Everything has to be there for these children and for these families. The whole support system for these families. Until the day, Rabbi Isai, until the day now they're ready to do the Parah Aduma. So they take the Haradim, they do extreme things, and then they take one of these children, and after all of this is said and done, they take the child, who's now already a young adult, and then metame him. They take a dead, no, not tame, a dead sheretz. They metame him, and then they put him in the mikvah, and he's going to be the one that's going to sprinkle the water upon the people who are tame. So they are there. So therefore, by doing this thing for years, it will counteract any bad impression you'll get by being metame the kohen that's going to sprinkle the paradum water. The kohen, the problem was the one that's going to sprinkle the paradum, they're going to contaminate him. That's going to go set a precedent that you're allowed to be tame to sprinkle the water. To counteract that mistake, the people that did this were like aliens. No one ever saw them before because they were living in these strange cities built on rocks for all these years. So it was a sensation. Why are you living here? You have to be tar. Why do you have to be tar? To counteract the fact that they're going to now be contaminated for the moment, being put in the mikvah, and should not be a tful yoim when they go and they do this entire procedure. So the question over here is, what in the world is going on here? Let's just stop and put our senses back together. What are the rabbanim doing here? Come on. You mean you want to go and lohitzi miliban shel tzedakah to go to such an extreme? Doesn't make any sense. So it always bothered me. So he says here in this sefer, Daskun, it's a brilliant building you cite. I don't know who says this from. Maybe it's his own idea. He doesn't seem to quote anyone. This is the Das Konisa sefer from Rabbi Gibbs. So you told me he's a spinko. Gibbs, the P. Gimel Yud Pei Samach. He told me he's a spinker chassid. I go every day to spink. Rabbi Shimon is a spink. The spink is a spinker. The spink also. The one mile by the spink, they all get along. They're like a 20 stinker rebbes, right?
Yeah.
And they all get along.
Almost
like all get along. Not like the other chassidim, when someone dies, there's a World War III. All the spinker rebbes. And they all split, and they all come together, all very happy. When Rabbi Schmidman round the corner, when he makes a Lava Malka, all the Spinker Rebbes, they come. They all come. From Bar Park, they're like 10 of them. Some of them are very, very, very big. It's like five of them. Rabbi Schmidman, like five of him. All right, but there are a lot of stink. There are a lot of stinker rabbis. Baruch Hashem, they all get along. They're very good. What? Yeah, you stink. They're all very nice. They're all very friendly. They're very nice people. The stinks. But in any event, so he says here, Mordika Yisoid. Rabbi Yisoid, running out of time. He says there are two Yisoidas. Very, very fascinating. Two Yisoidas. Number one, the reason why they did this was because this is a good answer. It touches about a mayor says something also very good, but it's another. Two Yisoidas. Number one, what is Paradum all about? Paradum is all about tuma that comes from death. Whenever you're dealing with death, you're dealing with the neshama, you're dealing with something very spiritual. I don't know the hashkaf of the tzedokim, but it appears that the tzedokim, they challenged the premise that there is life after death. They challenge the premise, the entire hashkaf that we have of the hasharas haneshama. This basic principle is the neshama. What? Triyasamesh. All the things relating to what happens to a person after death. That's really what the Rebbe told about. That's what that all started. Don't be makabel the Rebbe Amnas makabel pras. Amnas shlo makabel pras. Dealing with reward in the next world. Their hashkafa affected very much the belief in what takes place after life. Therefore, Para Aduma is the one thing from all the things in the Torah that deals with death. A person dies, there is Tuma. The Tuma relates to the fact that the Neshama is no longer here. And the whole concept of Para Aduma, again, I don't know all the problem, relates to the concept of life after death. Therefore, if there's one place in the Torah where the Rabbanu want to go to an extreme that's beyond our understanding to show up the Tzedokim, it's going to be in Paraduma. Because Paraduma represents the removal of the Tumah that comes through death. You're dealing with death, you're dealing with the neshama, you're dealing with supernatural things that are beyond our understanding, which requires an enormous amount of emunah, and this precisely here is the shoresh, the root cause of the mistake of the baitosim, the tzedokim, the karoim. It's because they don't appreciate the neshama after death. Once you don't have that appreciation, everything in life takes on a whole new meaning. Everything in life becomes corrupt. The whole Torah becomes corrupt. Termin Hashemayim v'chulu v'chulu. It's the Hashuas HaNeshama, and that's Paraduma. And that's why here they have no choice but to go to extreme measures. The whole world should know that the Tzedokim and the Baitosim, they're dead wrong, and stay far, far away from them. Another thing he says here, very important, you saw it, is the reason why they did this was because this was a technique, not just to show them up. We'll have a lot of fun today. Today we're going to have a lot of fun. Everyone is here. Everyone, all the cameras are clicking away and everyone is watching. They're Purusha, they show them up. And what's going to be tomorrow? Tomorrow they'll show us up. Okay, they'll get angry at us. They'll show us up tomorrow. What's going to be in a week from now, 2 weeks from now, and a month from now? This is going to go on. This is going to be a vicious cycle of fighting like we see today. You want to show me up? I'll show you up. They're both very clever. They use this as an opportunity to raise a new generation of people whose whole essence are fighters against the Tzedokim. It's brilliant. The Rabbanan raised a city. Here, we're going to have a colony of children. What's your purpose in life? Yes, these children were raised until the Bar Mitzvah. I don't know how old were they when they did this. Bar Mitzvah, at least Bar Mitzvah, maybe not, maybe no. I don't know, maybe they're less than 9 years old, whatever it is. These are children being raised for years. The reason why we're living in this farm, in this place, is to show up the Tzedokim. That means that when they get older, these children, that's their whole life. They're going to be fighters their whole life. They're being raised from the crib to fight with the Tzedokim. The Tzedokim aren't raising children from the crib to be fighters. Okay, they have a yeshiva, they have a seminary. They'll teach you how to be a Tzedoki. They'll teach you the corrupt hashkafa. These are kinderlach. In Kola, they're sitting there in the colonies. They're using this as an opportunity to raise a generation of fighters against this hashkafa that Torah is Naman Hashemayim and everything that goes along with it. That's why they went to such an extreme. So we take away from this over here, let's review what we learned today. We learned today there's something called a Tzedoki. Where does it come from? It comes from Antinois. Antignois. And we learned the Musa has to be careful, you have to be with your Talmidim, not to mislead them. He had two Talmidim, and Tignois, and he had Sodok and Baitos. And as an extension, we had mentioned another three groups that are found in Chazal. Each one had a different Hashkaf, make no mistake about it. They're not the same. What the difference is, it's a big mystery. Paraduma is one of the main places where Chazal went out of the way to show up the Tzedokim. So we said three different approaches. And Meir said a beautiful approach is because they wanted to prevent the Tzedokim from becoming Tahar. The Tzedokim want to be Tahar also, in their interpretation. Now that the Rabbanan went, they were Metame someone, the Tzedokim and the Rabbanan were in control, they were the only ones that had the Paraduma water, the Tzedokim can never become Tahar or Lishitosam. Number two is because Paraduma represents the concept of the Neshama, the spirituality of Olam Haba, what happens. And it's precisely here the Rabban had to go to extreme measures because this is the shoresh of all foreign hashkafas and Klal Yisrael, is an understanding of what happens to the neshama, acha me'er v'yeshem. And the third Yisrael is the Rabban who did this extreme measure, not just to show them up, but it was to raise a generation, a group of fighters that will always be available for Klal Yisrael to stand up and fight against the people who attempt to mislead Klal Yisrael with a false hashkafa.